It's always a pleasure to have Nicholson Baker on our program. His new book, Baseless, My Search for Secrets in the Ruins of the Freedom of Information Act, is a major new work, a hybrid of history, journalism, and memoir about the modern Freedom of Information Act, and yes, the horrifying decades-old government misdeeds that it is unable to demystify. Baker, one of America's most celebrated writers, probes the questions of what happens to a country's sense of itself when major governmental programs and policies are kept secret for decades. How are we supposed to learn from our mistakes when those mistakes are steadfastly suppressed by the government agencies that made them? Again, the name of the book is Baseless, My Search for Secrets in the Ruins of the Freedom of Information Act, and we welcome Nicholson Baker back to the roundtable this morning. A pleasure to have you on the show, sir.
A pleasure to be on the show, Joe. Thank you.
I always love your work, and I always love talking to you, and I thank you very much for being with us. How did this particular project come about?
Well, it grew out of earlier projects. I was writing about libraries and microfilm and certain Cold War figures started to get interesting to me. And somewhere along the way, I learned about this question, this somewhat, it sounds like a kind of a bizarrely specific question, but did the United States use its available germ weapons in the Korean War was the question. And it was discussed in a book that I just happened to come across in the University of New Hampshire library. I saw a list of diseases that the United States was working on in that period. They were trying to amp up diseases, you know, crank the dial. They would take a disease and make it more infectious or make it more resistant to antibiotics. And I thought that was a very bad idea. And it was all secret. And one of the diseases that was in the list was a disease that my grandfather, who was a pathologist, had studied and talked about. It was a fungal disease. It was a horrible disease. And I thought, why would the American government be paying very smart human beings to make this particular disease into a weapon? Make it worse, make it more injurious, and make it into something that they were going to spread somewhere, potentially, on people who were considered to be enemies. I just was horrified by it. So over the years, I kept looking into the question. I went to presidential libraries and stuff. Yeah. And in the end, it became a kind of intermittent obsession, I guess you could say.
I like that term, intermittent obsession. So it seems in answering such a question that on paper and in thought that most people would think that the Freedom of Information Act would be your friend in answering this question.
Well, I mean, it should be the Freedom of Information Act is a really nifty, worthy piece of legislation. It's just that it's not enforced. So it's in ruins because government agencies can do whatever they want, really. If they don't want to turn over information, they just don't. They just don't respond to requests. They just respond with the documents that they feel will possibly satisfy the researcher and not all the documents that are there. They use redaction, and we all know what about redaction, which is really a euphemism. Redaction, you know, is a gentle way of saying we cut a bunch of stuff out that you'd probably want to know, but you're not going to be able to know it. It's what is keeping us from understanding our own past. It's what's forcing a kind of amnesia on us as a country, so that here we are in the midst of a very fraught administration, and we can't learn the lessons of earlier administrations to apply to this one.
What are the reasons that are given for the redactions in the sense of, is it, what do they say when you say, okay, well, why isn't the entire document here?
Well, it's quite an interesting series of codes that there are particular paragraphs of the Freedom of Information Act that spell out, and the other guidelines that spell out reasons why an agency can withhold a certain bit of information. So sometimes, especially in more recent redacted documents, there'll be a whited out shape over a paragraph, or maybe a blacked out shape, depending on who's doing the redaction. And then there'll be a little set of codes or numbers. It'll say something like B13A or something like that. And that refers to these guidelines. And so you go to that paragraph and you see that it says that we're withholding that information because it often it's something bizarrely simple, like because it refers to something that is properly classified. So you think, oh, okay, they're classifying this thing because it's supposed to be classified. Well, that's not very helpful, but it's just the way it is. It's a kind of ballet of evasion and on the part of researchers of persistence that goes on over years while presidents and administrations come and go. Historians ask and ask and ask and get refused information that is pertinent to their research. And it's a game of psychological tug of war between very wealthy government agencies and individual researchers who are just trying to find out what happened.
It does seem, you use the word game, and you get that sense. As I mentioned, the book is this hybrid of... Go ahead.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep, okay. We had a little hiccup there, but I can hear you now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what you lost.
Well, no, we got your answer. I was just about to ask another question of you were talking about it being a game, and you get that sense in this, as I mentioned in the introduction, this is a hybrid of a diary, memoir, and history. So you were telling us as these events presented themselves, and your memory is bringing us through what happened. As far as that approach to it, what was that like to write and try to remember and start putting the pieces together?
Well, it ain't easy. One thing that is hard about doing history as opposed to writing a novel is that when you're working on history, you're always dealing with a kind of emergency flood situation. The basement is flooded. You have too much stuff in your head. And so when you're trying to write about a complicated, an institution, a series of actions, a war, whatever it is, you have more in your head than you can possibly hold. So you're always forgetting things and re-remembering them. That's really the challenge of writing about it, is how do you keep control of your paper? You know, you have all these file boxes filled with stuff. Then you have the stuff that's on your computer. You have the stuff that's kind of working knowledge in your head. And it's all has to be brought to bear in some kind of coherent way. It's really, really hard. And different. The difficulty of writing a novel is a different way, where you're following a thread, but you're imagining things, and things come to life as you go. So, in addition to all that trouble and challenge and difficulty and fun, by the way, because it is an interesting challenge to try to write about something complicated. The fascination of what's difficult is a part of the doing history. But in addition to that, there are these black holes. There are these unknown parts where you know that a certain document exists. You know it was written on a certain date, that it went from this person in the Pentagon, let's say, and it was about something that you're interested in. But you don't have the document itself. You just have this yellow piece of paper that says access restricted. So the document exists specifically, but it's in a different part of the National Archives behind a wall that you will never pass through because I don't have a security clearance. I'm never going to see that document. So I can go to the National Archives repeatedly, and I have many times, and sat and looked through all kinds of fascinating documents. But knowing all the time that there is this charged absence, there's this series of documents that I will not see, perhaps 1,000 of them, that relate to the thing that I'm looking at. And so I asked for some of those. As I was working on all of these other questions and trying to kind of put them all in the blender of my own explanatory imagination, I'm also waiting for some kind of response from the government. That's what this book is about. It's about trying to make sense of what happened when you don't have all the information, but you also simultaneously have too much information.
That's such an interesting point. Nicholson Baker is our guest. His new book is Baseless, My Search for Secrets in the Ruins of the Freedom of Information Act. Talk a little bit about the title Baseless, of where that mm-hmm. comes from.
Operation Baseless. And I think the first person who found the piece of paper that talks about it in the National Archives. I'm turning the pages, and then it says, in keeping with Operation Baseless, et cetera. Operation Baseless was an Air Force program that began late in 1950, and it was an attempt to, quote, let's see if I can remember, achieve an Air Force-wide capability in chemical and biological weapons at the earliest possible date. And the reason why it was an emergency crash program was because the Korean War was going very badly.
Yeah.
The Chinese had counterattacked. The Americans were in retreat. And there was a kind of panic, a ripple of panic that went through the Pentagon and the State Department and the Truman presidency. And the panic was, we're going to lose this. And if we lose this war, we're going to have a larger war with the Soviet Union. How do we win a war with the Soviet Union when they have a numerically superior army? The only way we can win is with American scientific know-how. So they came up with the idea that nerve gases and germ weapons would win the war.
And the title almost has double meaning, because the baseless is that you can't get the information you want.
Right. And also, it's what fascinated me about calling it Operation Baseless is that they were building deniability into it. They were saying, whatever we do with these weapons, in the case of biological weapons, sometimes can be used very sneakily because people get sick, but maybe it's just a disease from that country, right? Maybe it's not something that was dropped from the air at all. So baseless is the kind of thing that governments say. These baseless accusations are outrageous, and we reject them categorically. That kind of denial. We've all heard that kind of denial. Governments make that kind of denial. The idea that you would name the program that would be creating the weapons that then would be denied is fascinating. It's built into the very name of it.
Who is behind the redaction, the difficulty, the withholding of the information? So I ask the question in this way. If I'm doing a research project on something completely different, let's say about the history of fracking in the state of Pennsylvania, will I have, I'm just making that up, but let's just say. So am I going to run into, I could run into a lot of problems, or I don't necessarily have to run into a lot of problems. And ultimately, who is making that decision of what information I get and what information you get? And are there similarities there?
Well, there is the United States Freedom of Information Act.
Correct.
Which covers federal records. But then every state has put into its own laws sort of echoes of that national legislation. So they're sunshine statutes.
Right.
They have various names in all the different states, and all of them are slightly different. So in order to get something about fracking in a particular state, you might be dealing with a state law that is slightly different from a federal law.
But let's say I'm looking at a federal program. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So if you're looking at a federal program, there are several ways you might be. If it's something that's happening right now, you're terribly interested in the national policy on fracking, for instance, you would petition the agencies that are involved in overseeing that. And you'd say, give me your documents relating to such and such fracking project or whatever it is. That would go to the Freedom of Information Coordinator at that federal agency. Now, if it's something that you want to find out that happened a long time ago, the records that were owned by that agency, let's say it's the Navy or...
Yeah.
Some of those records were transferred, or the Air Force, were transferred to the National Archives. Unfortunately, and this is sort of the root cause of the problem, the records are transferred, and they're taken away from the Air Force, but the Air Force still has control over whether the information can be released or not. So when I asked for these 21 documents, that it could have been 210, but it was just happened to ask for these documents, please give me these things that I know exist and that are behind a wall. The National Archives can't then say, sure, we'll do that. We'll take a look at them and send them to you. They can't, because they have to send the documents that they control physically to the Air Force, and that the Air Force has to pronounce on whether they can be released or not. In this case, that particular activity has taken 8 years. There's still not been a response from the Air Force. The National Archives, which is should be the central clearinghouse of all government of our ability to understand what the government has done in the past, is powerless to declassify documents, except in very limited situations. They cannot release documents until they check back with the originating agency. And sometimes a document, it has these things called equities. So it'll have, say, four agencies that are all concerned. Let's say there was a big meeting. Yeah. There were many of these. And they were all trying to figure out how to plan a certain war plan. The Navy might be there, the Air Force, the CIA, and the Army, let's say. All of those people then have to have, the National Archives has to send that document back to all of those individual Freedom of Information coordinators, and it sits there for a couple years, and it kind of percolates around in those individual departments, and often just gets lost. Because it just simply takes years for things to kind of cook through the system, especially because the agencies themselves are not terribly interested in releasing the information, so they slow walk everything through it anyway. So the whole system is just built on a pervasive, crazy-making delay.
We have exactly 30 seconds, but in a very short answer, is there something that we can do about it?
Yeah, I think we've got to declassify every single federal document that's 50 years old or older with no redactions, and we have to do it yesterday, because we are in a state of controlled amnesia, and we need to learn what happened in order to not make the same mistakes again.
Nicholson Baker's new book is Baseless, My Search for Secrets in the Ruins of the Freedom of Information Act. Sir, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.